All right. I want you to go to the book of Galatians, if you would. The book of Galatians, chapter number 1. I just kind of want to tell you what we're doing here tonight. And we started this last week, and we're doing it again tonight, and we're going to continue all through the campaign. So there's 4 Wednesdays of this. But we're going to be going through how to lead someone to the Lord. This is going to be a very practical instruction type thing. This is very much a study of the Word of God. And we're going to learn how to tell someone about the Lord, how to be a good witness. And just to kind of review about stuff we talked about last week is I love the term soul winning. I love the term soul winning. Nothing wrong with the word soul winning. But sometimes if we get so hung up on the winning part of it, we will feel like a failure if we don't win someone to the right. Lord. You're never a failure if you give someone the gospel.
Amen.
Right.
You're never a failure if you give someone the gospel and they don't get saved. You're never a failure. If we measured success by results, then Jeremiah would be the worst, most unsuccessful person of the Bible. God done told Jeremiah before he was to go out that no one would listen to him. Now that's encouraging, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, well,
how'd you like that? For God to give you a job and say, now just letting you know, no one will listen to you, but I want you to go out and preach anyway. That'd be real. I don't know if I'd be up for that task.
Yeah.
But praise the Lord, Jeremiah, he went and did it. And for that, I would say he's one of the most successful people of the Bible. But so understand, we are called to go witnessing, and just it's like being a witness on the stand in a court of law. You are there to verify an experience that you had. We talked about last week the greatest tool that you could have being a witness is your own story, your own testimony. How did you come to know the Lord? What were the set of circumstances in your life that led you to call on Jesus and ask him to save you? What, you know, that will resonate with people. You could try to prove the gospel. You could try to prove it historically and scientifically and logically and all these things. And people always have an answer for something. You know, how is it that two scientists can look at the same piece of evidence and come to different conclusions?
Yeah.
They got a different worldview.
Right.
But do you understand, when you give somebody your personal story, they can't argue with that because it's real and it happened to you. That's what being a witness is. If I'm being an eyewitness to a fender bender that happened out there on 17, down there at the corner, if I were that, I would be explaining to everybody what happened according to me. You know, and we'll talk a little bit more about that tonight, but understand one of Paul's greatest witnessing tools, the Apostle Paul, he'd go from town to town and he'd always start with his testimony. He'd say, you may not know me, you may know me as Paul, but can I tell you when I was known as Saul, the persecutor, the one who wreaked havoc of the church, and then I met Jesus for myself. And now I am changed. I am no longer that person that I was. I am a new creature in Christ. And that was convincing to so many. Even King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. And that's a big deal.
Yeah.
So understand, even if you don't see results, just sharing your testimony with somebody is all God asks you to do.
Right.
And that's planting the seeds of the gospel. They may not come up right away, but hey, that's farming. You know, it would be ridiculous to think that you plant a seed in the ground and immediately, poop, it's going to pop up some corn or some wheat.
Right.
That'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it? Sometimes things take some time. Sometimes people, it takes years for that seed of the gospel that's been planted in their heart, and it's been watered, and it's been cared for, and it takes years sometimes for that to pop up. But then sometimes, and it's exciting when you get to be there, sometimes that little seed has already been planted. And you think you go and you're telling somebody the gospel for the first time, and it may be the 7th or 8th time they've heard it. But now it's different. Now there's something there. And now that seed of the gospel is springing up and you get to harvest it. Do you know that the reward for the planter and the reward for the water and the reward for the harvester is all the same?
Right.
So we all get to partake in the fruits at the end of it. And, you know, one of these days, you will not believe when you get to heaven, the people that are there because of a seed that you planted. You won't believe it. And God promises that His word will not return void. It's never a waste of time to give out a gospel tract.
Right.
It's never a waste of time to give someone the gospel. Galatians chapter number 1, verse number 6. I'll have you stand if you're able. Verse 6. It says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." You know what I think a big roadblock for many Christians is? It's just like the Galatians. They don't have a firm grip of what the gospel truly is.
Right.
So let's take a moment and pray. Ask the Lord to open up our hearts and our minds and help us to understand fully the gospel. Heavenly Father, again, we come before your throne tonight and we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for all the things that you've been doing in our community, Lord, and I'm thankful that you use little old us. We're certainly not deserving of your grace, and we're just a small community, but you choose to work through us to work out your wonderful will of salvation. And I'm so thankful for that, Lord. I pray you would bless this time now. I pray that you would encourage us and help us to understand the gospel fully. Help us to share it with others clearly. And I pray that you would instill some excitement in the hearts of the people, and we'd see a big attendance tomorrow at Thursday night visitation. We pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So in our passage of scripture here, understand Paul is writing to a church. And a church is made up of saved, baptized believers. So understand, these are people that heard the gospel, and they've been saved. They have salvation through Jesus Christ, but we see Paul is rebuking the Galatians because they had moved away from the gospel to another message. Paul says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the gospel unto another gospel. And then he says, which, by the way, is not another gospel.
That's right.
And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But understand what had happened here is the Galatians, they were baby Christians, and they had these people sneak in and start teaching them error. They're the Judaizers. And these were people who were teaching the Galatians that in addition to Jesus dying on the cross, they had to be circumcised, they had to observe the Sabbath, and they had to eat kosher in order to be saved, in order to keep their salvation. It kind of sounds like some of the churches today,
yeah,
doesn't it? Jesus is enough to save you and get you off the ground, but you have to keep it up yourself. Well, I always tell people that's like going to the airport and the pilot takes you up about 30,000 feet in the air. And then he says, all right, I'm turning the engines off. I've done my job. Pedals are going to come up from the floorboards and you've got to pedal the rest of the way there. That's ridiculous. The pilot's not doing his job, is he?
Right.
The pilot's job is not to just get you up into the air. It's to take you to your destination. And Jesus' blood is enough for you to get to heaven. You do Amen. Not need to go to church to try to keep it up. You don't need to try to do all these things, all the sacraments or all the penance and all the other things that people associate with salvation. You don't have to do those things to get to heaven. Jesus' blood is enough.
That's right.
Hebrews says it was once and for all.
Yeah.
You don't have to keep claiming it. It's yours once and for all. So the Galatians, they had given heed to the Judaizers, and they felt like they had to rely on their own works to keep their salvation. And the problem for the Galatians is they did not have a proper understanding of the whole gospel. They might have gotten part of it and they had gotten saved, but then they got kind of things confused. And I think the reason many Christians don't witness today, and don't be shocked, okay? Our church is kind of a rare thing. Yeah. Not all churches are concerned with going out and winning people to the Lord.
Right.
Not all churches, the vast majority of churches are content to take up their offering in their nice fancy buildings and not touch the community.
Right.
Not tell them about the things that are important. They will set up their food pantries and they will do all of their humanitarian work, but they don't care about people's souls. And what good is the food for the body if the soul dies?
Right.
So understand that what we do here is kind of a rarity. What we're doing is what all churches ought to be doing.
That's right.
But I think the reason that many Christians don't witness is because they just don't feel comfortable with it.
Yeah.
They just feel scared. They feel timid and they feel intimidated by it. And they feel like, where does all that come from? I think a lot of that comes from a lack of understanding the gospel. I mean, think about it. Just think about it. If you are not familiar with something, you're not going to feel real comfortable with sharing it, are you? And I think a lot of people just, they don't get there. Now, what is the gospel? Let's define the term. What is the gospel? Well, the word gospel actually comes from an Anglo-Saxon word, Godspell, which means good message, or good news. When we say gospel, we simply mean good news. The gospel, as it applies to the Bible, the whole message of the Bible is the good news that Jesus came to save sinners.
Right.
That's the good news. When there's no way that you could get to heaven, Jesus was the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
So understand that is what we're talking about. That is the good news. We call the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we call those the Gospels.
Right.
Why? Because it's the good news according to those four men. In fact, if you look in your Bibles, it typically doesn't just say Matthew. It'll say the gospel according to Matthew. And we have the gospel according to Matthew, the gospel according to Mark, the gospel according to Luke, the gospel according to John, and there is a fifth gospel. Now, don't throw me out of the pulpit now, all right? This is where a lot of people would say, I don't know about that preacher. I'm not breaking out the Book of Mormon tonight, okay? Okay, it's not that. There is a fifth gospel, and that is the gospel according to Brian Gentry. The gospel according to Earl Merrick. The gospel according to Myron Johnson. The gospel according to Jesse Maxwell. The gospel according to you. That's your testimony. That is your gospel. You know, there are so many people in this world, they will never read those four gospels, but they'll read that fifth one. They will read your life, and your life is a testimony to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so understand what I mean by that is, again, your testimony is one of the biggest tools you have for winning someone to the Lord.
Amen.
Look at what Paul says in Galatians 1, and we'll go to verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. In other words, this gospel is not something that man just made up. Verse 12, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, he's saying, I received the gospel from Jesus himself. This was my experience with Jesus. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Do you see what Paul does? At the very beginning of Galatians, he says, why are you so removed from the gospel? Oh, didn't you get what the gospel was? And immediately he starts giving his own testimony once again. So again, I don't want to keep beating this dead horse, but I will. Your testimony is very important. You can be confident sharing the gospel with somebody if you know it thoroughly. Thorough knowledge builds confidence. I'm going to give you the steps of how to lead someone to the Lord. I'm going to give you 5 easy steps. Okay? I thought about doing 4, but really there is a 5th, and I'll explain it in just a moment. Now, I'm going to give you 5 easy steps of the gospel. And you can write these down, and this will help you share this with someone. And we're going to use a fun acronym. Each letter start, you know, it's an acronym. It's SHARE, S-H-A-R-E, SHARE, because that's what we're supposed to do with the gospel, right? We're supposed to share it. So if you remember S-H-A-R-E, SHARE, you will be able to share the gospel with others, okay? So here's the first one. S stands for sin. S stands for sin. We are all sinners. Okay, I know that probably shocked some of you in this room, but we are all sinners. Nobody is perfect. Not a single one of us. In fact, a lot of people, when they are giving the gospel to somebody, they will go through what's called the Romans Road. Now, let me explain to you what that is. Now, back in Bible times, the Romans, they were a pretty epic empire. They were known for their big building projects and their governmental systems and things like that. One of the things that the Romans were especially good at was construction. And one of the things that the Romans were are pretty much known for in world history is they made travel through the Middle East so much easier and safer, because they would actually make roads. Now, the roads that we travel today, that was not always the case. Back in Bible times, when you were traveling, you forged your own path.
Yeah.
You blazed your own trail. And this is why it was dangerous, because not all trails led to good places. And you had a lot of bandits and criminals hanging out, just waiting to prey on the innocent. It was not a good time to travel. It was a dangerous time. The Romans made traveling throughout the empire so much easier and safer. They actually built these paved roads, and some of them are still around today. Okay, so the next time you see that pothole on 17 that the city of Bartow just does not want to seem to fix, just think about how the Romans made these roads, and they're still there. So, there's a few things we could learn there, I'm sure. But the Romans road, there was a term that they said, all roads lead to Rome. And in a way, that was true. You just take any road and it would take you back to the capital of the empire. Well, this is the Romans road. We're not talking about this concrete and these cobblestones. We're talking about the road through the book of Romans. And instead of going to the city of Rome, we're going to heaven. So it's the Romans road to heaven. So all the verses that you need to lead someone to the Lord can be found in the book of Romans. So if you'll write these verses down. So for S, we have sin, and you can write this one down, Romans 3:23. And you can go there. I would encourage you to turn there, Romans 3 and verse 23. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. S stands for sin. In order for a person to be saved, they have to understand some things about sin. First of all, they have to understand what sin is. Sin is any transgression against God's law. Here's a great example. Take the Ten Commandments. Most people know one or two of the Ten Commandments. Okay? And just about any of them, people have broken. Okay? Don't believe me. Sometimes I'll say, you know, one of the commandments is, thou shalt not bear false witness. Okay? Have you ever told a lie? And of course, everybody has. Well, what do you call someone who tells lies? A liar. And then you say, okay, well, what about the eighth commandment? Thou shalt not steal. Have you ever taken anything that doesn't belong to you, regardless of its value? Well, of course, we all have. And so, what do you call someone who steals things? A thief. This one, you know, if you want to get real brave, the seventh commandment is thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, most people will say, well, that's not me. I'm faithful to my spouse. But Jesus said, whosoever looks at a woman to lust on after her has committed adultery in his heart already.
Right.
Have you ever looked at somebody with lust in your heart? Again, most people have. And so you say, have you ever, another commandment, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt do no murder. Well, again, most people will say, well, no, I've never killed anybody. And you know, notice that's the thing that people always point to. I should get to go to heaven because I never killed anybody. Okay? There's, as if that was the standard of getting into heaven or not, was the amount of people you did not kill. All right? But again, we could say that Jesus said, anyone that hates his brother is a murderer at heart. And so with just those four commandments, you can call anybody, myself included, a lying thief, adulterer at heart, and a murderer at heart. And those are just four of the Ten Commandments. Imagine if we went through all ten. A person has to understand what sin is, and then they have to understand they are a sinner. And you know what? Put yourself in the same boat because you're a sinner too.
Yeah.
When you tell someone, hey, there is a sin problem, sin is transgression of any of God's law. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. Remember that old Dr. Pepper commercial? I'm a pepper, you're a pepper. We're all sinners. All right? And the Bible says, for all have sinned. That is the starting line of share, the letter S. Let's move on to H. Let's move on to H. And H stands for hell. H stands for hell. This means there is a penalty for sin. You see, at the end of Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all come short of the glory of God. God's standard is himself. He is holy. He is perfect. Does anybody measure up to God's standards? No. Nobody does. Nobody, even if you dedicated the rest of your life to doing good works, you couldn't measure up to God's standards because of all the sin that you have done.
Right.
Even if you started from this day forward and lived a perfect life and did great things for the Lord, it would never take away even one of your sins.
Yeah.
It's not a scale system. It doesn't balance out.
Come on.
So understand, your good will never outweigh your bad. It doesn't work that way. And there is a penalty for sin. It says all have come short of the glory of God. Here's an illustration I like to tell people. It's like the thing at the carnival that says you have to be this tall to ride, to get on the ride. If you're not that tall, you're not getting on. Heaven is the same way. Here's the standard. It's God's perfection, his holiness. None of us measure up. So the alternative to that is in Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23. The first one was 3:23. The next step is in 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin is death. Now we'll stop right there. The wages of sin is death. A person has to understand, if you're going to share the gospel with them, if they're going to get saved, a person has to understand that the consequences of their sin is death.
Right.
Now, this is not just a physical death. We all die. Okay? This is an eternal death. Right. In fact, Revelation 21:8 talks about how the lake of fire, this is the second death. Understand, death is separation. When somebody dies, we mourn and we cry and we share grief because there's separation. We don't get to talk with them anymore. We don't get to laugh with them anymore. We don't get to spend time with them anymore because there's a separation. Spiritual death is separation from God. Could you imagine being in a place where you cried out to God day and night in torment and God does not hear you? Do you understand God is completely separated from you? All good things come from God. So to be completely separated from God, you are separated from all good things. You are in a place of eternal torment and in a place of eternal fire. And it's a place that was not designed for you.
Right.
It was a place that was designed for the devil and his followers, his angels.
Right.
And so a lot of people will say, how could a loving God send people to hell? Here's my answer to that. He doesn't.
Right.
We send ourselves there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because God didn't make that place for us. He made heaven for us.
Amen.
It was His intention that we be with Him. And we are the ones that forfeited that with our sin. So you have to understand, if you're going to share the gospel with someone, S, you got to tell them of their sin. We're all sinners. H, hell, that's the penalty for sin. That's what we all deserve. If someone will admit to themselves that, yes, I'm a sinner, and yes, I deserve to go to hell, then the next few steps are that you're in a really good place. The third step, A, is atonement. Atonement. Atonement means covering. More specifically, it means a covering of our sin. It says, here's the next one, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. The next step on the Romans road, it says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I see a couple things here. First of all, the person has to know that God loves them. The person has to understand that God loves them. It says God commendeth his love toward us. Here's another verse that you can share with them that that gets that point across. Maybe you've heard of it. It's John 3:16.
Yeah.
And how does it start? For God so loved the world. Hey, this is what I'll do sometimes. I'll say, take the world out and insert your name. For God so loved Jesse. For God so loved so-and-so. You know what that does? It makes it personal. They need to know that God loved them. God knew that there was no way for us to be reconciled to Him. There's nothing we could do to cover our sins. You could try to do all the good things. It's not going to cover any sins. But God gave us a way. A person has to understand how God acted on His love. God loved us that He gave us His only begotten Son. He gave us Himself. A person has to understand that Jesus was not just a man. Jesus was God.
Amen.
That's why the name for Him in the Bible is Emmanuel. It means God with us.
Right.
Can I just say this real quick? I get to say that Jesus is God in a former kingdom hall.
Amen.
Where they would teach this sort of thing to the community that Jesus was not God.
Yeah.
He was some created angelic being, Michael, the archangel, and I get to say from this platform in the former kingdom hall, Jesus is God.
Amen.
All right, so you just relish in that fact that we get to do that tonight.
Amen.
Jesus is God. As God, Jesus lived that perfect life that none of us could do. Jesus did. Why? Because He's God. And here's a helpful thing. As you're going through the steps, ask them questions. What does that mean? Just to kind of check. They're not, you know, there are some people that will just nod and smile and listen to you like you're some sort of salesman. The gospel is not a sales pitch.
Right.
There are so many people who reduce it to like a PowerPoint presentation. And they'll lead someone through some empty prayer just to write something down in their New Testament. And that's just as wrong as not preaching the gospel.
Right.
So understand, we need to make sure they understand each one of these things. A person has to understand that Jesus was God. And because God loved us, Jesus was our atonement. How was he our atonement? How does he cover our sin? Through his blood.
Right.
A person has to understand that he was crucified. Now, most people know Jesus died on a cross.
Yeah.
Okay, we do a pretty good job of that. We put crosses on everything. There's crosses on churches. We put them on bookmarks. They're everywhere. So people know that Jesus died on a cross. People don't realize why. And people might think it's some historical reason. Well, Jesus was rebelling against the Roman Empire, he claimed he threatened the power of the monarch. Jesus was crucified because he laid down his own life.
Right.
Jesus was crucified for our sins. Our sins, our wrongdoing, put him on the cross. So understand, Jesus died to pay for our sins. And if for a person to get saved, they have to understand that that is what happened for their sins. Jesus died to pay for their sins. Somebody had to die.
Right.
The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Mm. And Jesus said, it could be you or it could be me.
Yeah.
I'll make it me.
Yeah.
Jesus stood in our place. It's substitute. His death for our life. And a person has to understand that Jesus rose again, proving that he was God. Proving that he had power over death and over sin and over hell. So understand, that's atonement. That's what you share with people, atonement. Let's move on to R, and here's the big one. It's where a lot of people try to get to. R stands for receive. Receive. How does a person receive this gift? If you go to Romans 3:23, it says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How does somebody get this free gift? Well, how do you get a gift at a birthday party?
Come on.
Somebody hands you a present, and it's got that wrapping paper, and it sits there on your lap, and then you kind of set it there on the table, and you just stare at it. And you never open it, you never touch it, you just kind of put it on a shelf, and you next time you have a garage sale, you wonder what it is, and you just put it out for sale. That's not how you receive a gift.
No.
How do you receive a gift? You take it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. All you got to do is accept it. And when you accept it, it's yours.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not like... Have you ever had somebody do this? They give you a gift and say, here, I hope you enjoy this brand new watch that I just gave you. Now, could you go wash my car? That's not a gift. You have to work for it.
Yeah.
Heaven's the same way.
Yeah.
God's not going to say, here's my free gift. Now go out and sell my newspaper. And now go out and you have to go to church a certain number of times every month. Or you have to go and give a certain amount of money to the poor. That's not how salvation works.
Right.
Otherwise, it's not a gift.
Amen.
You had to earn it.
Yeah.
All right, so a person to receive God's gift of heaven, you have to accept it by faith. This is in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. That's our next step on the Romans road. Romans 10. In verse 9, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I don't see anything in there about church attendance.
Come on.
I don't see anything in there about your church membership.
Right.
I don't see anything in there about how much money you give or confessing your sins to a priest. I don't see anything in there. It says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart.
Amen.
It's faith.
Yeah.
When you truly believe something by faith, a person has to understand that heaven's a free gift. And all it takes to accept God's gift is to sincerely believe in your heart that Jesus died to pay for your sins.
Right.
And that he rose again, proving that he was God. He had the power over sin and death. Not only that Jesus died to pay for your sin, but he could pay for your sin. The sign of this belief is to call on the Lord in prayer. That's the sign of that inward belief. It's that outward sign. I'm calling on God. And so at this point, when you share the gospel with somebody, they will have a decision to make. And you ask them, do you want to accept God's gift or reject it? Because those are the only two options.
Yeah.
There is no third. And a lot of people, unfortunately, will say, well, I just want to wait. I'm just not in a good place to accept the Lord right now. I want to get back into church before I do that. That's a foolish thing to do.
Right.
That's you trying to work your way to heaven. In order for me to come to Jesus, I have to get right. Jesus met us where we were at and accepts us as we are if we'll accept him as he is. So understand that's the choice. Now, hopefully and prayerfully, you will have people who will say, yeah, I want to accept that. I want to accept God's free gift of salvation. How do I receive that? Again, it's the belief in their heart.
Yeah.
The prayer is a formality. So understand, you can lead them in a prayer, and many people do. You probably heard the term the sinner's prayer. I'd be careful. The sinner's prayer is just fine, but you do not want to make it, okay, just say these magic words and you'll be
right.
saved. There are so many people, myself included, who a well-meaning adult told a child, just say this prayer and you'll be saved. That happened to me. And I was on my way to hell thinking that I was good because I said some empty, meaningless words. I had no idea what they meant. So understand, if you do the sinner's prayer and you want to do one of these, okay, we'll pray and you just repeat after me. They need to understand it has to come from the heart.
Right.
If it doesn't come from the heart, they are lying to God.
Yeah.
And do you think that's going to go over well?
No.
That is offensive to God. Okay? So, again, the sinner's prayer, you could write something down, but it would simply be this: Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. But I believe that you died to pay for my sins. I believe you rose again because you are God. Forgive me of my sins. Take me to heaven when I die. In Jesus' name, amen. And look, if people really mean that, you can typically see it on their face.
Yeah.
I've seen people, I've gone through the sinner's prayer and I've thought, I wonder if these people even mean it. I wonder if they're just patronizing me.
Yeah.
And then I look up and they're sobbing and they're weeping because it was real to them. There are some people, and this is even better, there are some people that will pray on their own.
Yeah.
They don't even have to be led through a prayer. And the way you do that is say, hey, if you want to accept God's free gift of salvation, why don't we pray? I'll pray first and then I'll tap you on the shoulder. And when I do, you just tell God what's on your heart. And if they really understand salvation, they're going to know what to say. There's no wrong way for them to pray if they truly understand. So that's S, sin, hell, atonement, receive. But what about E? A lot of people stop after receiving that gift, and that's such a shame because the gospel is more than that. I like to add E, which stands for eternal security. Eternal security. Do not leave that person's doorstep before you tell them that they cannot lose their salvation. Once they got it, it's theirs. You know, it's a pretty terrible person to give you a gift and then say, give it back. You don't deserve that gift. That's pretty terrible. It's not a gift then.
That's right.
Again, Here's, and you'll have to forgive me, what happened on the way to church here. And this is just how much the devil does not want this being taught.
Yeah.
Okay? The wind blew, and all my notes for tonight's lesson just went flying all over the place. And you should have seen me running down the block trying to chase down my papers. One of them is still missing, and it's the one with this point on it. So just understand, this is how much the devil does not want you to hear this.
Right.
Eternal security. Eternal security. Romans chapter 8. Now let's just think logically here for just a second. It says the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life doesn't start when you get to heaven.
That's
eternal
right.
Life starts the moment you get saved.
Amen.
Now, go with me for a second. You have eternal life when you get saved, right? And you're living your life and you do something to mess it up. And God takes away your salvation. You're on your way to hell. Was what you had really eternal life?
Come on.
No. Eternal means it's forever.
Right.
Never goes away.
Amen.
So if you could lose it, then it's not eternal life and God's a liar and we live in a terrible world.
Yeah.
And that's not the case, because
right.
Let God be true and every man a liar.
Okay.
There are some good people, and may I even say there are some people in the Baptist realm that
yeah.
will teach you, you can lose your salvation. And I feel sorry for them, because that's not true. That's a terrible life, thinking you have to try to keep it up. And at any time, you could just walk away from it all. As if God is limited to us. If we are more powerful than God.
Come on.
Oh, now. Romans chapter 8. I love these two verses. Some of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Romans 8. Look at verse 38. For I am persuaded. You know what that word persuaded means? I'm convinced.
Yes, sir.
Beyond a shadow of a doubt, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Nothing can take it away from you.
Amen.
Nothing that you do here in the present, nothing that comes in the future can separate you from God's love. Not the angels themselves, not the powers of the devil,
yeah.
the principalities and the powers of Satan, not height, nor depth, nor any other creature.
Amen.
Nothing. That's a big list.
Yes, sir.
Understand, there is no thing. No person, no creature, nothing that could ever take away salvation from you. One preacher put it like this: if I go to hell, Jesus has to go with me. Right?
Yeah.
And if Jesus is with me, is it really hell? Anywhere is heaven if Jesus is with
That's
me.
Right.
Because the Bible says that we are kept in by his hand, his mighty strong hand. I heard a preacher illustrate it this way. The Bible says we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of redemption.
Amen.
When you get saved, you are placed in the Father's hand. And as if that wasn't enough, Jesus takes his hand and puts it over top.
Amen.
And you know how sometimes on our human hands, you got all them little cracks and crevices, something could leak out? That's where the Holy Spirit comes in and seals us.
Amen.
Under the day of redemption. You can never lose it. Don't ever share the gospel with somebody and leave them saved but not kept, not secure. Share sin, hell, atonement, receive eternal security. Now, next week we're going to get a little more practical. I wanted to cover the spiritual these first 2 weeks. Next week we're going to get into the practical. Okay, some of the right ways to tell someone about the Lord, and some of the unwise ways, some of the ways that you probably ought not to make your common practice. But I hope this was a blessing to you tonight. I want to encourage you to come out tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, we're going to go out and put this into practice. It would be a shame to keep all of this instruction to ourselves and not do anything with it. In other words, now that you know,